Join me in prayer. Living God, help us so to hear your word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. A reading from John chapter 6, verse 30 to 35. So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, were clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' or 'What are we to drink?' and 'What are we to wear?' All of these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day in its own evil."
So I'll warn you off the bat, this is really stupid, okay? That said, my disclaimer. A sales rep from Tyson Foods arranged an audience with the Pope. After receiving the papal visit, the Tyson man whispered to the Pope, "Your Eminence, do we have a deal for you? If you change the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken,' we will give you $500 million to the church." Well, the Pope responded and said, "That is impossible. The prayer is the word of the Lord, and it must not be changed." "Well," said the Tyson man, "we are prepared to donate $1 billion to the church if you will change the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And again, the Pope replied, "That is impossible. The prayer is the word of the Lord, and it must not be changed." Finally, the Tyson man said, "This is our last and final offer. We will donate $5 billion to the church if you will change the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And then he left. The next day, the Pope met with the cardinals to say that he had good news and bad news. The good news is the church has come in to $5 billion. The bad news, we're losing the Wonder Bread account. It will never happen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, at some point in time, most of us have needed glasses or some other prescription change to our vision. And so when we go to an ophthalmologist or an optometrist, they put that device over our face and they begin doing all this clicking around thing. And can you see better on this one or better on this one? And eventually they get it just right so that our eyes can focus on the letters and we can see them clearly. The Lord's Prayer functions in much the same way. Jesus places this prayer before our eyes, the eyes of our spirit and heart, and begins to use it to focus our lives, our minds, on what is necessary and important. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his hearers to first seek the kingdom of God. And over the last 2 weeks, we've learned that the prayer Jesus taught us starts right there. We focus on God, seeking God and God's kingdom. We learn that God is both majestic, yet is near to us as a parent, our Holy Father. The first three petitions teach us that as we seek and align ourselves and our lives to the will of God, God's reign and kingdom comes in our midst and into our hearts and world, and God's name is hallowed, honored, preserved, kept holy in and through our lives. Today we begin the second set of three petitions. We petition now for our own needs, our need for forgiveness and for deliverance and protection and for our daily bread. And so today we begin with, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what are we praying for here? Bread, yes, but there's more to this prayer than just the bread we put in our stomach. Because most of us, if living where we do, I doubt any of us is really starving for food, though certainly there are those in the world who are. So we might just kind of gloss over this, thinking, okay, check mark that one off. But there's more to this. And so we're going to break it down into four component parts. We're going to look at give, bread, daily, and hour. First, give. In the movie Shenandoah, Jimmy Stewart plays a prosperous Quaker farmer during the Civil War. One night at the dinner table, this widower and hard worker offers the dinner blessing. He says, "Bless this food, Lord. I plowed the land. I planted the seed. I irrigated the fields. I harvested the crops. I canned it. I cooked it and I served it. It took a lot of work and I did it all. But I thank you anyway because I promised my wife on her deathbed I would do this for the sake of the children. Amen." It's kind of funny, but in some ways, there may be a bit of that arrogance in us. You know, I brought home the bacon, as it were, this picture of rugged individualism. But in the midst of that, we would forget, as Jimmy Stewart's character did, that he didn't cause the sun to shine, or the rains to fall, or the turning of the seasons, or even create the dirt in which the plants grew. At some basic level, we all rely on God. Jesus, by teaching us to say, give us, is asking us to open our hands to receive, to realize that which we need is a gift given to us by God, and we stand ready to receive. It teaches us to acknowledge that God is the source of life and a provider of all that we need. It cultivates us into this sense of affirming our reliance upon God and also a sense of gratitude for all of God's good and perfect gifts. And so we begin with give, an openness to receive that which God would offer us and that which we need. And then we go to the word bread. The petition for our daily bread reminds us that God does care about what we physically need. In our culture, bread comes in many shapes and sizes and flavors. Some of you may go out to eat today after church, and you might order breakfast. The waitress will then say, "What would you like with that? A muffin, a biscuit, or toast?" And if you choose toast, then you get white wheat, rye, or sourdough. Bread in our culture is often an add-on. But in biblical times, as in other cultures today, it is a staple. Bread in Jesus' day was baked daily and was an essential food. And thus, it is a symbol in Scripture of everything necessary for life. And so bread is more than bread. Jesus hints to this in John chapter 4, verse 32. His disciples are urging him to eat something for his belly. And Jesus says to them, "I have food that you do not know about." And the disciples were wondering if he was hiding a Snickers bar or something. But he says, "My food is to do the will of the Father, the will of the one who sent me." And so I think if we think in our lives of times when we have participated in a ministry or we've engaged in one of those chance encounters with someone when we felt the immense power of God, we've just known that God was in the midst of the situation or in the midst of our serving, that we feel incredibly satisfied and full. And so when Jesus says the food is doing the will of the one who sent him, it was that fullness that he felt as he was yielding his life to the Father. Also early in Jesus' ministry, as I shared with the children, Jesus is taken into the wilderness and Satan tempts him. And Satan says, "Turn this stone, this rock, into bread." And Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that flows from the mouth of God." And so not only do we need the physical bread and to do the will of the Father, which is bread, but the Word of God, the Scriptures, are also bread for our lives. God's Word is also essential. There's a contemporary song that is called Breathe, and one of the refrains in it is, "This is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me." So bread is more than just our physical need. Then Jesus puts it all out there after he feeds the 5,000 when he proclaims, "I am the bread of life." They're demanding a sign from him as Moses had given a sign, and Jesus reminds them that it wasn't Moses who provided the daily manna. It was from heaven. It was from God. And that manna ultimately ends. And Jesus says, "I am that manna. I am the bread of life. I come down from heaven. And so I am available to you. I am your daily bread. And all who eat of this will not be hungry, and take of him also will not thirst." It echoes the prophet Isaiah, who said, "To everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." Jesus later in this John text goes on to talk about how people are to eat his body. It sounds cannibalistic, and so much so that some of the disciples, not the 12, but other disciples, leave Jesus because this teaching is hard, and Jesus says it's hard. And if you've ever read this scripture, you probably thought, what is Jesus saying? Obviously, we do that symbolically when we do the Lord's Supper. But think about it this way. Have you ever been reading a book and you're just eating it up? You've used that terminology. You're eating up. Or maybe you're loving on a grandchild and you're just kissing their little face and saying, "Oh, I could just eat you up." It's that idea that we take that thing or person into us. And that's what Jesus is saying. Those of us who feed off of him, feed off of his love, his grace, his witness, all of that becomes food for our body. We take him within us. And so when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it causes us to stop and ponder what we need from God that day. Certainly food for our stomach, but also food for our spirit. I don't know about you, but I've certainly had days where I haven't been physically hungry, but my hunger goes deeper than that. And so I might pray instead of food, I might be more concerned about having peace in the midst of some conflict that's going on, or comfort or companionship or forgiveness, hope, patience, and so many other things. And of course, the food for eternal life. These are all the things that make up our daily bread. After church, many of you, and including me, will go either home or to restaurants to feed our stomachs. But think about this. Christ established the church to serve a different kind of food, a food that no restaurant has on its menu. That is the bread of life, that spiritual food for which many in our community hunger, and we have it. And so we have give, which focuses us on the one who meets our needs, and we have bread, which is food for the body and spirit and for eternal life. And now we turn to daily. In this seven-word petition, Jesus is very much focused on the today. He says, give us what? This day? Our daily. Mentions it twice. Jesus' Jewish audience would hear in this petition echoes from the days past, the days of Moses. After God had brought the people out of Egypt into the wilderness, they sang these joyful songs, tambourines, and dancing. They had been delivered. But those praises and songs quickly turned to murmuring and complaining. We have no water, and we have no food. A Back to Egypt committee was formed. Okay, you didn't get that. Anyway, despite the murmurings, God provided water and food. Quail in the evening and manna in the morning. And there was an instruction with the manna. God said to them, only take what you need for the day. They were not to take any more or any less. And if they did take more, it would turn to maggots, any leftovers. They were to take what they needed for the day, and the day before the Sabbath, take a double portion so they didn't have to collect on the Sabbath day. It was meant to be their daily bread. It was meant to teach them a daily reliance and dependence on God and God's provision. After 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the people entered the land and they forgot God. The manna ended and they took their food off the abundance of the land, and God was in the back of their minds, kind of like Stewart's character in the Shenandoah movie. It can be a danger, too, in our day. In our abundance, we, too, could forget God. Solomon, in Proverbs 30, said this, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And so we have, give us this day our daily bread, a daily awareness of God, our daily dependence on God for everything, because life is about today. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. And I don't know about you, but I tend to not pay attention to Jesus sometimes. But you know, there is no guarantee of tomorrow. And Jesus says at the very end of that passage, he says, yeah, there'll be troubles tomorrow, but you got enough of them today. And it's true. When we pray this day, our daily bread, we're asking God to meet us in the worries and concerns and tasks of today. And God meets us there and provides our help. And so we have give, bread, and daily. The last is our and us. We know from the first week that the Lord's Prayer is corporate because we pray our Father. And here we pray us and our. And it expands our thinking and our praying in two ways, our reliance upon others and our responsibility towards others. In our reliance, we are reminded that this petition calls us to pause and give thanks to God, yes, but also to remind us that our lives are intertwined with others. We can remember the farmer who plants and harvest the wheat for our daily bread, the migrant worker who picks the lettuce and tomatoes for our salads and pasta, the minimum wage worker who cooks our hamburger, the grocer who stocks the shelves at Fry's. No bread comes to our table without the gifts and labors of people we don't even know. And then there's our responsibility as we pray with others this prayer. We remember those for whom sufficient bread is a daily struggle. When Jesus was staring out at the 5,000 men, and there were women and children, he turned to his disciples and he said, "You give them something to eat." And the same command is given to us today. St. Basil of the 4th century wrote, "The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked. The money that is depreciating in your treasury belongs to the poor." As we pray this prayer, we seek to be active participants with God in providing bread to those in need. In this congregation, we do this in a variety of ways. We support our local community food bank with food, but we also distribute socks as we're collecting them in this Lenten season for those who do not have one. We also bless and give prayer shawls and quilts to provide comfort and support in times of loss and illness. We do home and hospital visits. Through these ministries of the church and individual members' ministries, we feed and clothe, comfort and accompany others along the journey in God's name. Even our decision a few months ago to make good on our pledge to the Imagine No Malaria campaign, $10,000 was our pledge that purchased 1,000 bed nets. Now that might not be bread for the stomach, but it was needful to save lives, to protect people from preventable disease. We participate in many ways when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Again, bread is more than physical. It is spiritual. It is emotional. It is for eternal life. And so there it is. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray this, particularly those of you, and I know there are those of you who pray this prayer at home, it's a good thing to know that this was a prayer Jesus taught us how to pray. It's not necessarily meant by Jesus for us to just recite it every week. You can take this prayer, break it into its component parts, and spend time in each section lifting up your particular situation. In this spot, it's very realistic to sit there and say, "Lord, give me this day my daily bread," and that daily bread is this. It might be physical food, but more than likely it is strength, or it might be comfort, or it might be patience to deal with the situation. Our daily bread comes to us in many ways. It's an opportunity for us to fill with the abundance that Christ offers us. And so I close today with this from Max Lucado in his book on the Lord's Prayer called The Great House of God. He wrote, "God is not a mountain guru, only involved in the mystical and spiritual. The same hand that guides your soul gives food for your body. The one who clothes you in goodness is the same one who clothes you with cloth. In the school of life, God is both the teacher and the cook. He provides fire for the heart and food for the stomach. Your eternal salvation and your evening meal come from the same hand. So may God be praised. Amen."